Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your house. Thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. Thank you for all the meetings that have taken place this week and the ones to come. We thank you. Thank you for giving us light. It's not a right, it's a privilege. And we're always grateful. We ask this morning in this service that you flood our minds with your understanding. We believe and receive there's no distraction in this atmosphere. We believe and receive that in this service, the things that ought to be said will be said. Things that ought to be done will be done. And together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service is glorified, as we are edified, built up by the power of your Holy Spirit, alongside those who hear us in the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now in the first service, we're going to move quickly. We began to look at being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Now I said that Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, who's going to be the Lord, said this at some point, that what is God doing now? He said he's building strong local churches, right? And there they are taught the word of God, full of the word. And they are full of the Spirit. Someone say full of the word? Full of the Spirit. Now, full of the word, full of the Spirit. We must endeavor to be filled with the word and also filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me just quickly run through the things I said in the precepts. In Luke 24, 25 to 27, where Jesus upon the resurrection met his own disciples. One of them was Cleopas, the other one maybe his wife. And said, O fools and slow of heart to believe, Luke 24, 25, all that the prophets have spoken. I know you can quote it. It's like your pastor wrote it. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounds them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So we see Jesus teaching. And he taught in verse 44, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I said with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ye their understanding, verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. So, something about the Great Commission was that there was a lot of teaching. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, which is the word to teach there, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, verse 20, see the word teaching, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. So really, Jesus did give them a teaching ministry. He gave them the responsibility to get men to be taught the word. So in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 42, 41 says that some people were added to the church. They gladly received the word, 3,000 of them. And it says in verse 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching. Which is the mode of explanation and, you know, set of beliefs. In Acts 5:42, it says, they cease not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ from house to house and also, basically, also in the temple. So Paul in Acts 20:20 says, I did not keep back anything, I kept back nothing, Acts 20:20, that was profitable unto you, but taught you publicly and from house to house. So there was a lot of teaching going on. A lot of teaching. Jesus himself taught a lot. Matthew 4:34, he taught. And 35, he taught in the synagogues, in the cities, you know, and from towns and villages. Same thing, Matthew 9:35. Like it was just copied to each other. He taught a lot. So when he asked them to go and teach, they understood what he was saying was to teach scripture, explain, interpret scripture. And what a ministry he gave to them. But in giving them ministry to teach, he also gave them another thing, another fact, you know, about his ministry. You know, when he was baptized with water by John, John records, particularly John 1, from verse 32, 33, 34, that the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. Of course, in Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel or glad tidings to the poor. He says to open the eyes of those that are blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Going to Isaiah 61 verse 1. So there was something about the ministry of Jesus was also the ministry of the Spirit. We saw it in the baptism of John. And the baptism of John is so important because the apostles used it as when to the parameters to choose who would replace Judas. He said, beginning from the baptism which John preached. Acts 1:21 and 22, beginning from the baptism which John preached. So we found that as critical. Why? Because that's when they saw the Holy Ghost on Jesus, confirming Isaiah 61. So Jesus, therefore, had such a thing as the ministry of the Spirit. Now, it's not like it's different from the ministry of the Word. You can only distinguish it. It's like saying, saying a car battery and then the car engine. You know, they work together. All of them put together is the car. You are only making a distinguishing. You know, so the same way, the ministry of the Word and the Spirit is the ministry of the gospel. But there's such a thing about someone being aware of the manifestations of the Spirit. That's why Paul could write to Corinth, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning. Now, you don't use the word concerning except you want to be specific. That word concerning is the Greek word peri. Concerning. That is, I'm focused on spiritual gifts. What gifts is italicized? Brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Which means it's a part of our faith that we must not be ignorant about. Then he said, I give you to understand that no man by the Spirit, call it Jesus a cause. Verse 3, no man can say that Jesus is not about the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 4, that the diversity of gifts by the same Spirit. Verse 5, the operation by the same Lord. Then he says that the diversity of operation by the same Lord. Then 6, the same Lord. The diversity of operation, verse 6, but the same God worketh all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. So he definitely spoke about diversities. Different things you can see in the ministry and the moving of the Spirit. So which means that it's possible a man is not knowledgeable about the things of the Spirit. So in the Great Commission, Jesus put an emphasis on the ministry of the Spirit. An emphasis. And I love something Reverend Mark Hankins said, one of Brother Higgins' very prominent sons. I mean, a man I respect a lot. He said that the Holy Ghost is given to us, so he will take the things Jesus has done for us and in us, not just in theology, but in practical living, which means the Holy Spirit practicalizes our theology. That thing which we know in the Word as true. Now, that's something E.W. Kenyon will call the legal work and the vital work. That is, legally I'm saved. Legally I have the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is in me. But then there's a vital walk where I am experiencing the walkings and the moving of the Spirit. So, Jesus then told them in Luke 24:49, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry, verse 49, in the city of Jerusalem, till you be endued with power from on high. Till you be endued with power from on high. Now, the enduement is a practical experience. It's the Greek word enduo, E-N-D-U-O, E-U-N-D-U-O, same thing. What means to slip into a cloth or to wear a cloth. Now, the enduo shows an activity, something that happens, a real-time experience, you know, an activity. You shall be endued in Acts 1:8. When they asked him in verse 6, would you at this time again restore the kingdom to Israel? Then he told them in verse 7, it's not for you, but to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put his own power, you shall receive power. Acts 1:8. After which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So there was such a thing as the workings of the Spirit. And the workings of the Spirit are experiential. You will see it. See, the church of God, we are not just into theology and the teaching. We are also into experiential, practical things. Now, I know, for example, that some people probably have gone very extreme. And they have done something. And we must be careful not to allow extremes rob us of realities. For example, you know some people, they can go to church and they will go and they will take handkerchief. You know, and they say, this handkerchief, I can use it to rub my face. When I rub my face, I go for an interview. Then the interview, they will take me. It reminds me of one guy that took that kind of handkerchief for an interview. So as they wanted to interview him, he just brought out the handkerchief and did like this. Not knowing that the other guy was also from his own denomination. That one now brought out his own too. Cancel. And even some people even sell it. But you know the truth is this. You see, never let an extreme rob you of the reality of a Bible truth. Now, is it possible to pray into cloths and have the sick healed? It's right there in the Bible. People usually take to the extreme something that is real. Look at Mark 5. Jesus, the one with the issue of blood. You know, she had suffered many from many physicians. They didn't get better, rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she said to herself that, you know, if I may touch but his clothes, Mark 5, 25, 26, I shall be whole. You know, she did. She went there when the crowd was thronging Jesus and pressing. She went behind and touched his clothes. And immediately the Bible says, the fount of blood ceased. Jesus knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him and turned around and said, who touched me? And the pastor was wondering, is this man crazy? Who touched you? Can you see the crowd? She said, knew that virtue had gone out. The woman now came out and told all that happened. She touched his clothes. In Luke 6, 2, people came around him and touched his clothes. That virtue will come out and they were healed. In Acts 19, 11. Scripture says that, you know, special miracles and signs were done by the hands of Paul, such that handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from his body and to the sick and those who were possessed and elect. So we can actually have that, and we'll restrict ourselves to the Bible, which means we can say, well, if you want to preach for somebody at home and the person is not here, we could just bring the cloth and we're going to do it here, amen, and we'll lay hands on it. Believing that the power of God will go into it and it can be taken to the people's bodies. I've seen it work many times. I've seen people who were totally paralyzed, laid on them and they got up. Different cases like that. I remember one person, she's a pastor with us now. She was going to see her brother, whose wife just put to bed. So as she was going, I stopped. I saw in my vision. I said, well, she was going for the naming ceremony. I said, it will not hold. She said, well, there were no phones then. So she wasn't, I said, it was not hope. That, but don't be scared. That when you get there, the child will still be in a condition that they won't have discharged the child. Say, take this cloth, put it upon her. I said, but even at that, as you get into the ward, you see somebody else. Put it on the person. You know, before she left, I now said there was somebody else in the house who had a condition. I said, let's test it first. So call the person who had like a knee problem. We put the person was just said, so take it. Now, it's not the cloth. There's nothing in the cloth. Nothing. Nothing at all. It's the fact that it's a point of contact. She went. Her own niece was discharged. The other person was discharged. And that can happen. You know, now people have gone to the extreme on things like that. They will now take it. They will take it and say, the God of so and so, for my business. Now, that's not in the Bible. But, cloth can be used where the power of God is ministered to it. Now, I know people have gone to the extreme. But you see, if you don't do something because it's an extreme somewhere, you are disobeying God. The laying on of hands. Years ago, I stopped laying hands on people. Why? About 29 years ago. And I said, why? I said, some people are just laying hands, and I was really angry. I mean, for God. People are laying hands. And the Lord spoke to me. This is personal. And he said, why are you not laying hands? I said to somebody, that one was laying hands for prosperity. And I said, so, is laying on of hands in my word? I said, yes. Then if you don't lay hands, you are not obeying me. So, we should act on the word of God. Some people have gone to the extreme, no doubt. But you see, whether they've gone to the extreme or not, we must obey God's word. Hallelujah. The move of the Spirit is a vital experience in our lives. Amen. We are giving to the things of the Spirit. See, I'm giving to the things of the Spirit. So, there was such a thing as the ministry of the Spirit, where Jesus told them, you shall receive power. A vital experience, after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. Now, in Acts 2, 1 to 4, it says, now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven, like as a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were seated. Verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's such a thing as being filled with the Spirit. Now, in case you thought that that's a one-time experience, no. In Acts 4, 8, the same Peter was filled with the Spirit. In Acts 4, 31, the whole church was filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Again, in Acts 6, it said, choose among yourselves, look among yourselves, verse 3, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. He said, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word, verse 4. Then he says, there was not a man amongst them called Stephen, full of faith. In verse 8, he said, full of grace and power. Same person, Stephen, full of grace. Now, in the first service, I said there were two words used for full, filled. The word pletho, P-L-E-T-H-O, and the word pleres, P-L-E-R-E-S. Now, both of them, with the last one of them, P-L-E-R-O-O, plero, it means for something to overwhelm, such that when you want to see it, that is what you are going to see. Now, it's like a typical Chelsea fan. You know, if Chelsea loses a game, be very careful in town. It's not every Chelsea fan that is like that, but they are filled with people like that. I mean, that's the only illustration the Holy Ghost is giving me today. I wish I had another one. You know, so filled means that it will be your identity. Like the Chelsea one I just said. So this hall, if this hall is filled, it's not just sufficient that we are all seated here, every space is filled, up till the roof, such that outside, that's what people are going to see. And I told you in the first service that in Genesis 1:28, it says, fill the earth, which means cover it. That same word is used in Numbers 14:21. As I live, saith God, the earth shall be filled with my glory. In Psalm 76 and 19, he said, the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The whole earth. Now, we know that this earth is God's house. The intention of God is for the whole earth to be filled with his divine presence. Every space, every person. So that is his idea. That is his plan. So when the psalmist says the whole earth is full of his glory, Isaiah 6, again, verse 3, he says, holy, holy, holy. You know, the whole earth is full of your glory. Isaiah 11, 19, he says, the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2, 14. Haggai 2, 6 to 9. The same thing. Filled. Which means it's controlling presence. Such that when you see it, when you see the earth, you will see God's presence. So I said in the first service that when someone is filled, it's something you are going to see is evident. There are evidences to it. It's not an imagination. It's not a thinking. It's beyond a confession. It's something we will see. There are characteristics to it. That when you see, that is why when the apostle said, look among yourselves, people who have this characteristic, they are filled with the Spirit. They are filled with the Spirit. They are people that they yield to the Holy Ghost a lot. And we can see it evidently in their speech. So we said in the first service that the first thing about those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, we looked at Luke 1:15. John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost on his mother's womb. Luke 1:40. Elizabeth, full of the Holy Ghost, said. Luke 1:67 into 68. Zechariah, full of the Holy Ghost, said. Jesus, Luke 4:1, full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We saw that when you are filled with the Spirit, you will speak. You will speak. On the day of Pentecost, when they were filled, they spoke. Now, which shows that when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, even though it's the Holy Ghost working in you, you will initiate it. Paul could write to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine when in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, or with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, Brother Hagin told us that a man by the name of F.F. Bosworth, I think I was Kata, sorry, he now did a study on the Greek word there, and said the Greek word there is be being filled, which means that continually be filled. How are you filled? You are filled by speaking. How are you filled? You are filled by speaking. Nobody filled with the Holy Ghost shuts his mouth. Nobody filled with the Holy Ghost shuts his mouth. Nobody. Nobody. You speak. That's too evident in scripture not to see. People will see it. They will see it. Such that we saw it also, Acts 11:24. Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:9. Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:52. The church, filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:16 and 17. So it's something we're going to see. In fact, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now that word of Christ, there is like saying, let the utterances of Christ dwell in you in all richly in all wisdom. Speaking to yourselves. You know, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing it with grace in your heart. You know, teach and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, teaching and admonishing, teaching, which is there's a speaking to it. So the first thing, if a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, it will be evident in his speaking. We said also in the morning, in the earlier service, that if there's something that is the most influential thing in the earth, it goes unnoticed. That what influences people in the earth the most are words. That is why people pay a lot of money in the media. What's the media for? Words. People are speaking. Why is the social media so powerful? Words. Words. Anything in your head can be transmitted by words. Anything you hear will come back in pictures and return in words. So words are so powerful. If you want a home filled with love, say it. Be saying it there. Don't say, this home is not filled with love. Love will always be a question mark because you're asking a question. This place is not this one. Why not say to your husband, you are a good man. You are a lovely man. You are the best husband in the world. Someone say, but it's not like that. Keep saying that. That is what will fill the home. That is what will fill the home. So when you are filled with the Spirit, we see it. It's in your words. It's in your words. It's infectious. It's really, really infectious. So number one, when people are filled with the Spirit, we said earlier, they are given to supernatural utterances. Supernatural utterances. Supernatural utterances. There's something it does to a congregation. When people are full of the Holy Ghost, there's a vitality it produces. See, you will see it in the atmosphere. I once preached somewhere, some 25 years ago, somewhere in Southern Africa. As I was speaking that day, it was in the morning, the first morning session. I just knew something was off. I knew something was really off. I thought and thought and thought. So I called the pastor, the bishop. I said, sir, what do you people say about the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost? His face lit up. He said, our people, you know, I noticed something. So when I finished preaching, some people came to the front, the elders, like the 24 elders. So they spoke in tongues. People now say, amen. They spoke in tongues, they said, amen. So when I asked him, he said, the people go to second work of grace class, as a normal class, to what? To be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I said, that's great. He didn't know what I said was great. I actually wanted to say, that's great unbelief, but I didn't finish the statement. So by the evening when I came, I just showed them from God's word. And I made sure that I didn't go back to my Bible every time. I just kept speaking. And they saw it. Apparently from the same scriptures that they stopped them from being filled was where I explained. And you know when I now said that, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to speak to others, come out. They now came out in their numbers. When they came out, they were much. I'm sure the bishop and his colleagues must have felt I was going to call them. Why would I call you? To come and minister to them. If you could have ministered to them, why would they be this much? Why would I call you? You had already stopped them from getting something. I will now call you. So me and my friend, Reverend Matthew, we were there together. We just laid hands. You know, as we were laying hands on them, you will discover that the tongues have been stored for a long time. Those tongues came out in annoyance. Some with capital letter. You will know that. Some of them now walk close to the bishop and go, brother. Now, I knew that was my last day there. Nobody needed to tell me. I wasn't going to come back there. But I've done my job. You know, but you can sense it. When people are not filled with you will see it in their worship. You will see it. They're almost looking like, you know, you will show the Lord's death till he comes. You know. Oh, you didn't get my joke. Like they are mourning the Lord till he comes. You know, like the Lord has died. Let's show his death. And, but when a church is full of the Holy Ghost, you will see it. You will see it. I saw it this morning. I saw it now. Hallelujah. You know, you have to tell them, hey guys, sit down. Say, hey, that's a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Someone said, what about the extremes? I said, look, I'd rather have wildfire than no fire at all. You see, Paul had something to correct because he had taught them something. You, there's nothing to correct because there's nothing they have done. Amen. And you make mistakes so we can correct you, but that you won't do anything. Hallelujah. That's not Christ's church. Amen. Anything people do anyway is going to be in the extreme. Jesus had a disciple that has sword. He carried it with God and he caught someone's ear. And Jesus just put the ear back and they just moved on. You two just correct it and move on. Amen. So we are giving to the Holy Ghost. I don't think I heard you. We are giving to the Holy Ghost. You know, it's not every meeting that is going to be the same. There's some meetings we'll teach and teach, some meetings we'll teach and just stop. We'll just stop, Baga. As Peter yet spake. He has not finished that sermon. He has not finished that exegesis. The Holy Ghost just said, bro, move. And he fell. Hallelujah. So there's sometimes you are speaking and the Holy Ghost will move. Like this service. Amen. The Holy Ghost will move. Praise God. You just move. So there's such a thing about being filled with the Spirit. We said the first thing is utterance. The second one, divinely granted appearances. Visions. Hallelujah. You know, it's only people that are not taught along those lanes that's a false prophet to come and show them a false vision. Acts 2:3. He said, there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. Was that the screen? Was it the screen? No. Appeared unto them cloven tongues. Look at that verse 2. Suddenly, there came what? Huh? A sound. Acts 2:2. There came what? Was that from the loudspeaker? Where was that sound from? The heavenlies. A sound. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will hear and see. You will hear and see. Say, I hear. And I see. I don't think I heard you. I hear. And I see. So we are open to that. Amen. We are open to the moving of the Spirit. Say, I'm open to the moving of the Spirit. To the moving of the Spirit. Don't forget, He will take your theology and make it practical. That's your theology. He will make it practical. You say, I'm a master because I'm righteous. Now, He will now make it practical. Hallelujah. So, there's visions. Visions and revelations. Acts 7:55. Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, lifted up his eyes and saw. He saw, full of the Holy Ghost. He saw something. He saw the Son of God, Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God. He saw. So when we are full of the Holy Ghost, we see. Now look at the one that is the easiest of it. You speak. Which means that it's a flow. I can start by speaking and wind up into seeing. I can start by speaking and wind up into seeing. They heard, Acts 2:2. They saw, Acts 2:3. So when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, pay attention here. I see supernaturally. Every man born of God has that divinely granted access to see and know things in the Spirit. Someone said, but how come I don't? Well, what have you been listening to? What have you been doing? Sometimes in the service, you say, well, people are in the service and they'll say, let's flow with the Holy Ghost. Some of us will just stand like we are journalists. And say, how is that person? Say, great. Excuse me. Are you the second person in the Godhead? Who asked you to do that one? Do you understand? Some people, when we are having the move of the Holy Ghost, what they will be doing is, help people move the chair. Are you the... What? All you are doing is saying, Amen. You go. Eh? Are you in the body of Christ or you are a cloth for the body of Christ? You should let us know. So, they are divinely granted appearances. Particularly for those of us who have oversight over people. Oversight includes supernatural revelations. Oversight. You'll be praying and God will show you things about those that you pastor, those that you oversee. Look at Ananias. Ananias was not a pastor. Acts 19 from about verse 12 or 13. He says, Ananias, a disciple, which means a member of the church, he saw Jesus. The way he responded to Jesus in that vision, you will know that he's used to it. He didn't say, ah, I see the Lord. No. Jesus spoke and he asked a question. Which means that he had been so taught, he knew how to respond in supernatural visitations. Or let's call it divinely granted appearances. So number two, you are given to divinely granted appearances. Number three, when a man is full of the Holy Ghost, he's filled with thanksgiving. He's full of thanks. Nobody murmurs by the Spirit. Nobody complains by the Holy Ghost. I like something that Gloria Copeland, Mama Gloria Copeland, did to her husband, Kenneth Copeland, one day. The man came back home and he was just complaining. You know, our finances are down, this and that. She just looked into his eyes and laid hands and said, Satan, let him be. You know, there are times you have to do that. Say, get out of the hold of the devil now. Let's just give thanks. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. 5:17. Pray without ceasing. 5:18. Give thanks always. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 5:18, when Paul says, speaking to yourselves in 19, in Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, then he says, giving thanks. Hallelujah. Giving thanks. Oh, I learned to give thanks. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, you will always give thanks. Anybody sensing that right now? Just give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. You know, when he talked about your nation, he said, first of all, 1 Timothy 2, I charge thee, first of all, prayers, supplication, prayers, intercession. Then he says, and giving of thanks be made for all men. When some people finish prayer meeting, you will ask whether it's the Bible they prayed with. They will finish praying and they will still be complaining. Look at every instruction on prayer always has thanksgiving. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord at hand. Verse 6. He says, be careful for some things. A few things. Almost all things. Be careful for nothing. But in prayer, supplication, together with thanksgiving. You see, do you know that unthankfulness is a sin? But I'm just complaining about Nigeria. It's a sin. It's a sin. He says, do all things without murmuring. You know, in Philippians 2:12, he says, work out your own salvation, trembling and fear, for it's God that's working you, both to will and do of good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. All things. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says, some murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. I learned to give thanks. I'm not thanking God that he did something. I'm just thanking God because he's always good. Learn to always give thanks. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your church. Thank God for even those your erring disciples. Thank God for the congregation under your care. Thank God for your pastors. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your job. Thank God for everything. Hallelujah. You know, it's not easy to do it. But when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will do it. You will do it. Oh, lift your hands again and be grateful. Thank God for as many things as possible. Oh Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. You know, I almost felt like saying, even if you're a red devil, thank God, at least you're going to be cast out. But somehow, I've said it already. Hallelujah. Thank God for everything. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are always thankful. You are always thankful. Paul said, did you know that we lost that contract? Praise God. I said we lost the contract. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. It's men that are full of the Holy Ghost that talk like that. Full of the Holy Ghost. Always giving thanks. 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 How many times? All. How many times? All. How many times? All. At home. At work. Now, you may not have this problem. Driving in Lagos. No, you don't have that. That one is not your own lot in Christ. Always. Always giving thanks. You know, it's difficult. But not for us. Because we are full of the Holy Ghost. We are always giving thanks. We are always giving thanks. We are always giving thanks. Did you know something? So we thank God. We thank God. I say that to Chelsea fans to always thank God. You know, I know it's going to get worse and worse, but always thank God. Hallelujah. Always be grateful. Oh Lord, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Thankful for family. Thankful for friends. Thankful, 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 thankful. Always grateful. What else? He says, submitting to yourselves. Those who are full of the Holy Ghost are submissive. They are submissive. Nobody who is full of the Holy Ghost is a rebel. They are full of the Holy Ghost. Submissive. They are submissive. Submissive. They're not the guys that, you know, you say, oh, so guys, we're meeting by 6 o'clock tomorrow, workers meeting. Just say, what's that all for again? Some people are like, not here, oh, not here. No, we are going to be here by 6 o'clock. I'm just saying something that could have happened. Amen? What's that one again? Tomorrow. I mean, I can't come home. You know? When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God. We'll be here. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Number one. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, supernatural utterances. We'll see it in the way you talk. Is it only in church? No. At work? At home? Always. Number two, divinely granted appearances. You'll be given to visions and revelations. Visions and revelations. Oh yeah. Visions and revelations. I mean visions and revelations. Hallelujah. Visions and revelations. You see, be open to the manifestations of God. Yeah. There's much more. Much more. Much more. It will give direction to our ministry, to our lives, to everything around us. A lot of things will be given to you by the word, as you are taught. A whole lot too by visions and revelations. A whole lot of things by prophecy. Be open to the diversities of the things of the Spirit. You see, don't just be used to one stream of the move of the Spirit. You know, there are different ones. And we are open to it, oh God. In our church, our churches, our campuses, we are open to the moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Divinely granted appearance. What's the third one? Giving thanks. Giving thanks always. Giving thanks. What's the fourth one? Submissive. The fifth and last one I'll just share here. We are always filled with joy. We are always filled with joy. Acts 13:52. Look at it. It says the disciples, the church, was filled with joy. And the Holy Ghost. Remember, if you are filled, it will be obvious. Right? So imagine if someone says, I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart. What are you like? I'm filled with joy. Some people even sing a song like, they can say, we humbly bow our knees. And they start like this. We bow our knees. And they be like this. You are lying. They said, we lift our hands, we lift our hands. Is it the English you don't understand? We shout aloud, we shout, we shout. Is it a grammatical problem? We shout! Hallelujah. Now, if you are filled with joy, would I know? I go see him. You know, people who see us in church, they say, what's wrong with these guys? You don't have a problem with going to Davido's concert and Burna Boy. And they'll say, lonely at the top. Lonely at the top. And they say, Odehu, Odehu. And there's people around the concert say, hey, hey. They say, well, that concert was something else. But when we are full of the Holy Ghost. I said, when we are full of the Holy Ghost. I said, when we are full of the Holy Ghost. Hey! Woo! 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 Hey! They'll go and pay £100 to go to O2 Arena. They'll stay outside 7 hours before they open. The guy will come and sing for 45 minutes. We now freely give. No entertainment. Freely given. Filled with joy. Filled with joy. Now, listen. Listen now, before you say it. Don't even sit. Filled with joy. Which means that I can share it. Now, face somebody. Let's share joy. Wait. You're not getting it. You know, I can say, let's pray together. That's very easy. So I'll hold your hand. Then we'll say, in the name of Jesus, we are praying together. Isn't that a spiritual thing? Okay. Let's share joy. Share joy with someone.